just press that red bit to stop. Because I'm just going to leave it on. Right. First reading is John chapter 14, verses 1-6. Let's hear God's word. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. I was supposed to say something to the children, but there's no children here this morning. Will there be children in there? There is children. Right then, okay then. I'd just like to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 46. Just three verses, Isaiah 46 verses 3-5. And this is what God's word says. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me, that we may be like? Just a few comments from Isaiah. Just to say this, that we've all had a father. Every one of us here has had a father, whether we knew him or not. But we all had a father. But that father has gone. Some of us here have still got the father. But what I would just like to bring a few points from Isaiah here is that to have a father who is eternal, who is God Almighty, it tells us here that he is the one that takes us from the womb. Even in the womb, God knows us. And he takes us from the womb, it says here in Isaiah, even from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And this is the part that I would like us to think about this morning, that even to old age, I am he. My father died when I was 15. I only knew him for those 15 years. And I knew that my father loved me because he was good to us. But he's gone. But I have a father in heaven who has promised that he would keep me to hoar hairs. And I have got hoar hairs today. Hoar hairs is grey hairs. And my testimony is, and to you children, and to you young people, you have to have a father who is in heaven who is able to carry you. Do you see what he says here? I will carry you. Those times when you feel that you can't go on, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is our Father. I will deliver you, I will bear you, I will carry you, and I will deliver you. And that tells us that what he's saying here really is this, that none of us will be lost. Jesus himself says that all that the Father has given me will come to me and I will raise them up on the last day. None will be lost. And I just want to encourage you young people this morning, if there's children over in there, can understand. We all have a father, but we need to have a heavenly father. And the only way that we can have a heavenly father is by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ, through being adopted. For as many as received him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, John chapter 1. As many as received him, gave he the power to become the children of God. My father died when I was 15. He ceased to love me He ceased to be concerned about me. Everything that my father thought about me was gone. But I have a heavenly father, and he has promised to deliver me. That was a reading in John chapter 14. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Have you this morning got a heavenly father? Have you got one who really cares for you? You know, just because we're in a church doesn't mean to say that everyone's saved. You can come to the church till the day that you die and still die unsaved. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto all those who believe, and for children as well. Children can be saved. You read some of these old divines, 5-year-old, someone was saved. God, who becomes our Father, keeps us right to the end. That's what he says. Even unto your old age, and I'm old, I'm 80, I am he, even he to your hoar hairs. I've not got many hoar hairs, but I've got some. He promises to carry me, to keep me, to deliver me, that where he is, there I will be also. So you young people, trust in the Lord. Call upon him while he is near, because there's a time coming when he will not be near. And we'll read about that later on, about when he comes again. So, I think we're going to have a hymn now, is it? Hymn. This thing's flashing, is that right? That's not. Aye. We hymn number 341, I believe we stand. all right, Ma? Let's come and pray. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, into that glorious presence, that place where Jesus was raised up, got up into the heavens, and seated at the right hand of God, we thank you that we have an advocate this morning, someone who pleads our cause. We have an intercessor, someone who prays for us. We have someone, Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us. It's wonderful this morning, Lord, to have your word, the Bible, to know that the word of God is contained in the pages of the Bible, and that it is an infallible word. From Genesis into Revelations, it's God's own word inspired by the Holy Spirit. Men wrote it down over a period of years, and we still have it today with us. Lord, we're a privileged people again that we have your word, that you have given us your word. Lord, you created us, and we fell, and Lord, you could have abandoned us, but Lord, you didn't. You had that purpose, you had that way of salvation, Lord, that was spoken of in heaven, in the council of God, that there would be that creation. And Lord, what a wonderful creation it is, as we look at each and every period, Lord, every summer and winter and springtime and autumn, the seasons, Lord, at that time that you promised to Noah, that these would continue until the end of time. And Lord, we are into the autumn now. Every year there comes an autumn. Lord, your word is so true. And we thank you, Lord, for the colours, even the wonderful colours that we see now. The green is turning golden and brown. And soon, Lord, the trees will be bereft of their leaves. And it looks as though everything has died, but Lord, it hasn't died. It's just resting, sleeping, until that other season comes. We thank you this morning for your wisdom in creation. We thank you, Lord, that it was you that created the colours, and some beautiful colours, Lord, in these flowers. We thank you, Lord, that you provide all our needs, even for the animals. That was provided even before man was created. That was provided for the animals in Genesis chapter 1. Lord, your thoughts are above finding out, as it were. And we thank you for that. We thank you, as we read in Isaiah, who can we compare you with? You are God, and you are God alone. You are the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is none like you, Lord. All these other gods are false gods that can do nothing, Lord. As we're told in the scriptures, Lord, they have eyes and noses and hands and feet. But, Lord, they can't speak, they can't hear, they can't move. Some, Lord, have to be nailed to the floor to cause them to stand. And, Lord, they will all perish on that last day. But, Lord, you will remain, for you are eternal. And we thank you for this. We pray this morning, Lord, as we are gathered here, we know that there are many thousands of your people, our brothers and sisters, Lord, in other parts of the world who are suffering. They can't meet like this. Some, Lord, have never been in a congregation, have never seen a congregation. There are many lone Christians, Lord, who, through these modern conveniences, through phones and internet and other ways, Lord, have come to know the Lord as their Saviour. And Lord, they can't meet. They can't even tell of their faith because of the danger of their death. So we pray for persecuted Christians. Lord, there are many countries, Lord, who hate your name. And yet, Lord, you're the one who did nothing but good. You're the one who came to heal the sick and to cleanse a leper, to make the blind to see. You're the one, Lord, who came to bring the good news of salvation. And yet, Lord, they hate you. And it's all because of Satan. Satan, in the beginning, Lord, turned their first parents against you by telling them a lie. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are able to cancel that lie. You are able to save those who come to you through Christ. Lord, we pray for our own country at this time as well. And we pray for this illness, Lord, this disease, this pandemic. We pray for those, Lord, who are locked down. We read or hear in the news, Lord, there are many who have mental problems because of being locked down. They can't get out. We have many old people, Lord, who live in fear catching this virus. Lord, it's a worldwide thing. It's not one country. We know that there have been many things that happened in just one country, but Lord, this is a world thing. And we need to ask ourselves, what is God saying in the midst of this? So we pray for these hospitals and these old folks' homes, Lord, that you would keep the people safe and the hospitals, Lord, will not be overrun like it was before. We pray, Lord, that you would keep the workers safe in the old folks' homes and in the hospital. We thank you, Lord, that you've kept us safe. We're here this morning. You've kept us safe. Lord, you're a wonderful God. We can only say, Lord, that we love you. And we say that we can love you because you first loved us. You are the one who came from heaven. You're the one that tells us that you loved us with that eternal love. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this worship time. Thank you for your promises that where two or three are gathered together, you're in the midst. And we can take it further, Lord, even where there is just one Christian. There you are with them because, Lord, you have sent your Holy Spirit to dwell within the heart of each and every Christian. We can never be alone, Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit as your comforter, as the one who teaches us, the one who shows us the way of salvation, the one who exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that great and glorious three in one, the one God in three persons. So be with us this morning, we do pray. Remember our families, Lord, those of our families that are not yet saved. You know where they are, Lord. You're omnipresent. You know what they're doing and thinking. You're omniscient. And only you, Lord, can save them for salvation of the lost, because only you are omnipotent. So we give you over our family this morning and pray, Lord, that you would have mercy upon them as you have had mercy on us. So continue with us and be with the churches that we know, Lord. Be with Market Street this morning with Graham as he comes to bring the word there. Pray for Eastbourne and for Bellevue Green, for Mayfield and other churches that we know, Lord, this morning that are struggling, small. But Lord, they're there because of their great love for you. So we do pray for these churches. Help them, we do pray. And be with us now. Continue with us, Lord. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second reading is the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And we'll read the first 14 verses. That's Acts chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1 through to verse 14. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, for that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter and James, John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That's God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that this is infallible. What we've just read cannot be wrong, cannot be changed. It's there, Lord, for us to read and for us to believe. And we ask this morning, Lord, for your help by the Holy Spirit for each and every one of us as we seek to look into your word, to be encouraged and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we are exalted to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It says there in verse 9 that a cloud received him. A cloud received him. It made me think about Psalm 24, where it tells us there that the king is coming up into heaven. It says there, Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. A cloud received them. You could imagine them looking up. And I often wonder when it said there's two men in white apparel stood by these disciples. I wonder if they passed each other on the way up and down. And I wonder how they felt not being with the rest of the angels when they were looking over the walls, as it were, of the celestial city, and Jesus being brought up. I wonder how they felt. I wonder if they wished that they were not here with the men, but up there with the Lord. I'd like us this morning to think about three things. One of them just briefly, and then two others spend just some time. And the three things I'd like us to think about this morning is limited appearance, exclusive appearance, and general appearance. Three things: limited appearance, exclusive appearance, and general appearance. The limited appearance we find in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. That's where the angels come to the shepherds and tell them that this day in the city of David there's a child being born. And they tell them where to go. And it's a limited appearance because it's only the shepherds that see him. And it's only Simeon and Anna that see him. And it's only those that were around the manger that saw him. And eventually it was only the wise men that saw him. So at his birth, it was a limited appearance. Only these people that were chosen to see the Lord at his birth, just after his birth, and then in a little while when he was in the house. So that's just a brief, limited appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we come to exclusive appearance, and we come to the end of his life. And it's an exclusive appearance, and we find that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. You notice there, he showed himself to them for these 40 days. The general appearance, as we'll see later on, is in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. But we'll come to that in a moment. But we're looking at the exclusive appearance. Jesus showing himself to certain people. Now in John chapter 14, it tells us there something why this was an exclusive appearance and why he didn't show himself to the world. In John chapter 14, verse 19, Jesus says this: yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. And then in verse 22, Judas, it's not a Iscariot, said unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Now it tells us there why it was an exclusive appearance. And Jesus goes on in John chapter 6, and he tells us why it was an exclusive appearance. In verse 26 we read, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Jesus is saying there, you're following me not because of who I am, but what you can get from me. Not because of the miracles that proves that I am the Son of God, I am divine, but because you ate of the loaves. And then he goes on to say in verse 36, but I say unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. Then again in verse 66, then said Jesus unto the 12, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto his 12, will you also go away? His exclusive appearance in the Gospels was because those that followed him for what they could get, he wouldn't show himself after his resurrection. But for those who trusted in him, his disciples, and those 500 that we read about in Acts 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about there that there was 500 people saw him before he ascended. So it's an exclusive appearance. And I would ask you this morning, has that exclusive appearance been to you this morning? By faith. You see, the last time the world saw the Lord Jesus, he was on a cross. A That's the last time that Jesus revealed himself to the world, was when he was on a cross, when he was being ridiculed, when he was being called all manner of things. That was the last time that the world saw the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time the Lord Jesus, the world will see him, they will not only see the Lord, see Jesus, but they'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. The last time they saw him, he was on a cross. But this time, they'll see him on his throne. Matthew chapter 25 tells us there, a marvellous portion of scripture. It tells us when all will be gathered together and Jesus Christ will judge all those. And it tells us there in verses 31 and 32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels will with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. The last time the world saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he was hanging on a cross. If he is the Son of God, if he is divine, then come down and we'll believe you. And even one on the cross says to him, save yourself and save us. And that was the last view that the world had of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the world thought was a failure. But my dear friends, the next time the Lord comes, the next time that the world will take a view of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's when he's not on a cross, but he's on his throne. Matthew chapter 25. I love to read it, and I love to read it. That he will come, and he will gather all that's been created. I don't know how he's going to do it, because there's trillions and trillions of people who have been created, born, and died. But the Bible says that he will be able to take everyone, and he will be able to separate them. And he will separate the sheep from the goats, and he will place those on his right hand and those on his left hand. And he will speak to those on his right hand, and he'll speak to those on his left hand. And according to his words will be their eternal destiny. Now the question has to be asked this morning. On which side will you stand at that judgment day? Will you be on the right hand? Will you be a lamb? Or will you be on the left-hand side, as Jesus himself says, this is not my words, this is Jesus' words, you will be among the goats. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, that's the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Then he shall say to them on the left hand, that's the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Exclusive. Showing himself only to those who believe in him. For 40 days and 40 nights, he showed himself now and then to those who trust and believe in him. And the angel said to the people here, why are you looking up? He's gone. Look ahead, because he's coming again. As we read in John chapter 6, verse 36, seeing is not always believing. I used to be with a bloke who was homeless when I was in the homeless work. And he said, if I can't see something, then I won't believe. I said, well, can you see the electricity? if you put your finger in the socket, I'm sure you would believe then. But Jesus tells us here when he's talking to his disciples, seeing is not always believing, but seeing by faith is always believing. And Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, it tells us there, 1 Peter 1 verse 8, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Seeing is not always believing, but seeing by faith is always believing. And I want us to just think about seeing Jesus by faith. And I've got these five things to bring out of seeing Jesus by faith. First, we need to see Jesus by faith in the hour of conviction. When we're convicted of our sin by the Holy Spirit, and we feel in our souls, if you've ever been convicted of your sin, and I'm sure many of us here have been convicted of our sin, you'll remember that you have found yourself undone. I've been found out. God knows all that I have ever done. Just like the woman at the well when she went into Sychar and she says to the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I've ever done. And that's in the hour of conviction. Then we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Because we know hell waits for us. And we need to have a saviour. And in the hour of conviction, it's lovely to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the day that I was saved. I remember the day when I was convicted of my sin. Well, I was convicted of my sin over a period of 3 months. And the scriptures that the Lord used to convict me of my sin was Psalm 34 in the first 3 or 4 verses. And for 3 months, I was convicted of my sin and I couldn't sleep. Because I knew that I'd been found out for all these things that I had done and said. And that's when we need to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in the word, the hour of conviction. But then we need to see the Lord in the hour of salvation. What a wonderful day that was when I was out on the beach in Morecambe on a Monday evening in September. Just as it was getting dark, and I had been reading this Psalm 34, verses 1 to 4, for about 3 months. And I says to my wife, I'm going out there tonight and I'm going to get myself right with God. And right there in Morecambe, out there on the beach, when the tide was out, I met the Lord. Or the Lord met me. And how wonderful it was in the hour of salvation to know that all my sins were gone. He'd taken them all. He who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to see Jesus in the hour of salvation, to know that he's my Saviour. My beloved is mine and I am his. And his banner over me is love. To see Jesus by faith in the hour of salvation is a wonderful thing. Have you seen Jesus? Have you been convicted of your sin? Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll see him in the hour of salvation. But then there's a warning. After I was saved, there was the hour of desertion. And that's when I needed to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in the hour of desertion. For all my friends, my mates, my drinking mates, abandoned me. You're no good to us now if you're going to be like that. Families desert their children and children desert their families. This is what happens when you become a Christian. Those that were your friends now become your enemies. because your friends were enemies to God, and now that you're friends with God, they become your enemies. And I remember it, being shunned, even at work, being shunned. I used to be a crane driver. I drove one of them telescopic cranes. And I used to always sit with the other crane drivers and digger drivers for our lunch. And we used to have this football syndicate, and we used to all put money into it. And after I was saved, I found that I shouldn't be doing this. And they put me out of the cabin. Go and sit in your car because you're no use here. That was hurtful because I'd been there for years working with them. But there was the hour of desertion, but then I used to go out and sit in my cab and read my Bible. And what a wonderful thing it was to see Jesus in the hour of desertion. And then fourthly, there's the hour of trouble. To see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in the hour of trouble. When things happen to us. Got a diagnosis, could bring fear. A loved one is taken from us. We lose our job, can't pay the rent, things like that. Trouble seems to be on top of us. But what a wonderful thing it is, by faith in the hour of trouble, to know that I have a Saviour who has said to me, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And who Isaiah tells us here, even to your hoar hairs, I will be with you. And the psalmist tells us in Psalm 48, this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide, even unto death. You see, there's so much in the scriptures to bring us comfort and peace, that peace that passeth all understanding. We just need to read it. Do you read your Bible? How often do you read it? We need to read it every day. For Jesus is alive every day. And then fifthly, it's nice to see Jesus by faith in the hour of death. I remember a brother and I went to the hospital to visit another brother who was dying. We prayed with him, and I read Isaiah chapter 43, and my other brother, he prayed with him, and the brother knew he was dying. He died not long after we left him. He couldn't speak, but when we read Isaiah chapter 43, he put his hands up like this. He couldn't speak, he couldn't tell us, but we knew that he loved the Lord. Because he'd been in our fellowship for quite some time. See, the hour of death. You see, death has no pain. There's no pain in death. The pain is in the cause of death. But there's no pain in death. Because death has lost its sting. And death was conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we all, unless he comes back again, we'll all face that day. We don't know how it will be. God knows he has planted that day, and that day will come. But we'll all be there faced with that great enemy whom Christ has conquered. And to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know what Paul says is the truth, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Not waiting in some place as purgatory, having to wait there, hoping that people will get us out by their money and their prayers. Not in some big bedroom where they talk about soul sleep. Immediately, death takes us, the Lord receives us. So there's five things that by faith that we see Jesus in the hour of conviction, the hour of salvation, the hour of desertion, the hour of trouble, and the hour of death. And has he made this exclusive appearance to you? I love what Isaiah says in Isaiah 33, verse 17. And this is what he says, and this is what I'm looking for. This is what John says will actually happen to me and to all those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. John tells us this in 1 John chapter 3. And this is what Isaiah says. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Did you grasp that? Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. The last time the world saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he was covered in blood and sweat and dust. He was full of holes. But Isaiah says that when we see him, and we will see him in a moment in the general appearance, we've already seen him in the exclusive appearance by faith. But Isaiah says, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty, and we will believe and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, my dear friends, this morning, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved, to know that you're saved, to have this full assurance that Jesus belongs to me and I belong to him. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. Now, what about the general appearance? What about the general appearance? Well, the exclusive appearance becomes the general appearance. And the general appearance is in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. And this is what the Lord says to John. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. So the exclusive appearance, just to some, will become a general appearance to everyone. That includes you and it includes me today. The general appearance is his last appearance. For who? If we're going to be with all eternity with the Lord, if his general appearance eventually becomes his last appearance, for who? For those in John chapter 6. For those that he said he would not appear to them again after his resurrection. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 11. And when the king came into to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. That's the story of the feast. When people were invited to the feast, and obviously they were given robes to wear, and here was a man that came in without the robe from the king, believing in himself that he was good enough to come to the wedding, not needing the robes from the king. And it tells us there that he was cast into outer darkness. The general appearance will become his last appearance to those who are standing on the left-hand side of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, don't be on the left-hand side of Jesus Christ. Be on the right-hand side of Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord while he is near. What does that tell us? Obviously, it tells us that he's not going to be near all the time. That general appearance is going to become his last appearance. That general appearance will be a time. Five things to say just quickly about his general appearance. That's when he comes back again. Everyone will see him. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us that everyone will see him. At the general appearance, those on his right and those on his left, everyone who has been born will see him. Secondly, everyone will hear him. Jesus tells us in John chapter 5, the hour is coming when those that are in the grave will be raised. Some to glory and some to shame. Everyone will hear him. Sometimes I have to use hearing aids. I don't use them when I'm preaching. I know some people who are totally deaf, but on that day they will hear the voice of Christ, and all those that are in the graves will be raised. Everyone will hear the voice of Jesus. Thirdly, everyone will obey him. Philippians chapter 2. Every knee shall bow. On that day, at the general appearance, everyone will see him. Everyone will obey him. Everyone will hear him and everyone will obey him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. What a glorious day to see your enemies and to see his enemies eventually bowing. It tells us in the scriptures, even those who pierce them shall see him, and they will bow the knee. Everyone shall bow the knee to my Saviour. But everyone will not bow the knee to their Saviour. There'll be those who will bow the knee to this judge. Those on the left-hand side. And fourthly, Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. Everyone will obey him. Or everyone will confess him, sorry. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. You this morning will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you want to or not, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And whether you want to or not, you will bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why not do it today? Why not do it today? Why not seek the Lord today? Why not call upon the Lord today? And then be ready for that general appearance, which will be, for some, his last appearance. But the general appearance, for some, will be his eternal appearance. For Paul tells us, forever with the Lord. Forever with the Lord. 1 Timothy 4, 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who also love his appearing. His general appearance will be an eternal appearance for those who love him. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. And verse 2:13. looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. That general appearance will be an eternal appearance for those who love him and for those who are looking. And then again in 1 Peter chapter 7. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, sorry. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice that these three verses talk about his coming again. And that general appearance will be our eternal appearance because of our love, looking for him and persevering. Well, time has gone. There's a hymn that I often love to sing. It's not in Hymns of Faith, it's in Grace Hymns. And this is the chorus. Jesus is coming, he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Shout the glad tidings o'er mountain and plain, for Jesus is coming again. Will you be looking for him? Will you be glad at this sight? What a wonderful sight, as Isaiah says, that we are going to see him, see the King in his beauty. You see some of those adverts on the television for shampoo and things like that. You see some of these, what they would call, the world would call them, gorgeous women. Nothing. Nothing compared to seeing the King in all his beauty. And it's an eternal looking because it's an eternal beauty. Will you be there? Will I see you there? Will we be able to sing from the bottom of our hearts there? To God be the glory. Great things he has done. Oh, my friends, if you're not a Christian, you don't know what you're missing. If you're not a Christian today, you don't know what you're missing. It's wonderful, glorious to be a Christian, to know that God loves me. God sent his Son to die for me. And the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to me. And because of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I am where I am today. And I will be forever where I am today, a lover of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, Heavenly Father, these are deep things, Lord, deep. Lord, we cannot fathom the depth of your love and your grace and your mercy and your kindness. At times, Lord, we just sort of scratch the surface. But then again, Lord, because we're human, it's enough. Oh, Lord, thank you. Reveal yourself to us this morning again, Lord, by your Spirit, that we might see something of this King in all his beauty, even by faith. So be with us now, we do pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing hymn is 290. Thou art coming, O my Saviour. Thou art coming, O my King. In thy beauty all resplendent, in thy glory all transcendent. 290.